Plus a K. Oh, I have coffee. Thank you very much, Mr. Cohen. Toast to you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaroi.
Amen.
Okay, so we're up to the Pesach. We began to discuss yesterday very briefly. Did we read the Pesach? You know, we did that. Let's Zayin. Let's start the Pesach Zayin. Elokim Haros Shineimoi Bifinoi Malteois Kefirim Nisoitz Hashem. Wow, what a tongue twister. This Baruch Hashem, we have over here a dentist, two dentists. We have over here two dentists. We have a disproportionate number of dentists over here in the room. We have free dental service.
Mail it in.
You do it virtually. You fill cavities virtually over Zoom. So here we have the word malteois. Malteois, over here we're describing over here the different teeth. You'll have to go and elaborate upon this. There are the different functions. The teeth in a person's mouth, they obviously, I would be very careful what I say over here, serve different functions. The molars. The molars are the back lower teeth, is that correct?
And upper.
And upper also, the upper called the molars?
Back teeth.
The back teeth. Are they also the uppers are called the molars also as well? And the, what are the front teeth called?
Anterior.
Okay, there are different terms. Over here, it would appear that the word over here, shineimoi, bifimoi, refers to the teeth that are the front teeth. And the word malteois refers to the back teeth. And I'm not sure if humans and animals are the same. Moisar odam min habehema oyin. But we're describing over here very graphically the viciousness of the enemies. Here we are calling the enemies lions. In the previous pasuk we called our enemies, David called his enemies snakes. He called them a cobra, the most deadly of all snakes. A cobra is known, I saw a little documentary on this, and the cobra, it just sends chills down your spine. The deadliness of the cobra, the poison of the cobra, the potency of the poison in the cobra is just not to be believed. I wonder what kind of snake was the Nachash? The Nachash HaKadmoini. What kind of snake? There are many varieties of snakes in this world. So many different types. What was it exactly? Who knows? Who knows what that meant? Does anyone chazal what it was? But a pesen seems to be treated as a cobra. And that was yesterday's shir. The deadliness of the venom of a cobra. Here we switch gears and we describe another vicious animal, a lion. And we're describing over here the teeth. The snake, the danger of a snake is in the venom. The danger of a lion is in the power of their teeth. I'm surprised we didn't talk about an alligator, the alligator, crocodile. Crocodile, the force that a crocodile can, when it closes its mouth is not to be believed. On the other hand, it can't open. You can keep an alligator's mouth shut with scotch tape. With duct tape. Duct tape would be enough to keep the mouth of an alligator or crocodile closed, but once the mouth is open, woohoo, if it closes, when it closed its mouth, the amount of force is beyond comprehension. How much power the crocodile, how much power it releases when it closes its mouth and whatever is inside is finished. Here we're dealing with the lion. The lion, it seems, doesn't have that force, but the lion can open its mouth as well, doesn't have a problem. And
here, crocodile doesn't have, when you open your mouth, there's a limit to how far you can open it. Snakes and a crocodile don't have it opens like this. There's no hinge over here to govern how wide it could open. It like raises up.
It's a different type, different technique.
A different
mechanism. A whole different mechanism.
Snakes could eat up like a rabbit hole.
They swallow. I know someone over here in this neighborhood, he has a snake. He has a pet snake. It's mind-boggling. He showed me the snake, and he described to me all the things that it does, and how he has to feed it every day a mouse. He feeds it every day, and then he has to now feed it rats. And it's not possible. How could a snake eat a mouse? He says the whole thing expands.
Right, you could see
it's
the outline of the animal in the body.
In the body, it's unbelievable. The chokhmah and the flois is not to be believed. Let's see the mitzvahs of the pasuk zayin. Pasuk zayin, the mitzvahs to explain over here the words over here. Let's first look over here the mitzvahs zayin. Zayin mal teois heim hashinaim hagedolim v'hu mishapech k'moy umacholois misal oisaf. Now this one over here, malta ois, over here, he says over here is the teeth, the large teeth. Now we call over here, the mefarshim will say it's the back teeth, what we would call the molars, which have enormous force to chew, crush, and destroy. And he just wants to point over here that this one, this is an example of a word, like we always say, is simla, salma, a keves, kesev. There are many words where they're used in Tanakh. Sometimes they're spelled, the letters are spelled one way, and sometimes the letters are interchanged. And this is a classic example, the word malta ois. And we're now in the Mitzvah Sion on page 509. It's a word in the category of misapech. What does that mean? He explains, kumo umacholois, food, misal oisav, the food that is chewed. And here in this word, misal oisav, you see that the sof and the lamid are reversed. In our pasuk, first comes the lamid, then comes the tav. In this pasuk, first comes the tav, then comes the lamid. And after, watch out, in Tanakh, this word is interchanged sometimes. So now going back to the Mitzvah Tzion, David.
Either case,
yeah.
I think that the Mitzvah Tzion is a case.
It means to chew. So let's see the Mitzvah
Tzion.
Okay, so let's see the Mitzvah Tzion, David. Shineimoy, Hashel Rishoyim, Halalu, Kifirim, Hatarfim, they rip apart like kichfim, like lions. Look at the pasuk now. Pasuk says, Elokim. David says over here, David is begging Hashem, Elokim, Haros, rip out Shineimoy, Bifimoy. Rip out the teeth from their mouths. These wicked people, they don't deserve to have teeth. Like this mantra we say in the Haggadah. The Haggadah is Hakei Eshinov. What do you say to the Rasha? Hakei Eshinov, the Emlo Ilu Hoyesham, Lo Hoyenigal. Rip out. Haros means to demolish.
Yeah, but
Hakei means to dull. To dull. Here it means, here it's more violent. Here it's haros. Haros means to rip out.
Smash. Smash your teeth in
there. Means even more. Haros normally means to oiker, to uproot. All right, whatever it means to remove haros. Haros, it's a violent word. Haros, to rip out, smash, demolish, remove, shinemo, bifimo, their teeth in their mouths. Period. Then it says, "Mal to ois kifirim," the molars of lions, their teeth, their back teeth, which is equivalent to the powerful, vicious teeth of lions. Nisoitz Hashem, I beg of you, Hashem, to smash. Nisoitz means to smash. Smash them, prevent them from causing any harm. Yes, yes. Poetic repetition. Poetic repetition. David is begging.
So by the Haggadah, do we know which Shinov is referred to when it says
Hakei Shinov? So Ramchal pointed out that it doesn't say in the Haggadah, not the word Haros, and it doesn't say the word Nisoitz. It says Hakei. Hakei is a different word. It's a different word. Hakei. It's
so
similar.
I want to ask a dental question.
Yeah.
The way I understand it, the two front teeth don't do anything. They just keep them, the food in the mouth, and they move it back.
They're incisors,
incisors. I'm not talking about
incisors. Cut food and bite off a piece.
You bite into an apple with your front teeth.
They're the incisors.
What's the size? I think the
premolars.
Huh?
Premolars.
No, the one that long sticks out.
The canine is the teeth that the lion uses to cut up its food and to bite. The canine teeth are the ones that are going to chew. The incisors are used to cut.
The incisors are there to incise the very front.
Right.
Those are to cut.
So you can cut.
Right, and then the primal are to?
The canine
are to?
I would say to rip.
To rip.
Like
when you have a carrot, you go.
So when you dull a canine, that you make it useless.
I would say useless.
What lions do, if you watch them on film, how they kill an animal, is they go right through. They literally go for the jugular of the animal right that's there. That's where they go for.
But
so
that
kill
canine
right
teeth will be very good for, because it'll puncture.
Right.
It'll
exactly. They all automatically go for the neck.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, okay. So therefore, let's one more time with the pasuk. The pasuk over here says, Elokim, David over here is davening to Hashem, and he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do two things. With regard to the Shinei Moi, he used the word haros. With regard to the mal te'ois, the molars, he's asking Hashem nisoitz. Now, he says in the middle of the pasuk, we have the word kifirim. He adds the word kifirim in the middle of the pasuk, which I would assume that if you want to go be very poetic, the word kifirim is going back really on the entire pasuk. You have to be creative and repeat the words. And David says with Elokim that the teeth, my enemies are like lions, and lions have vicious teeth. They have teeth in the front, teeth in the back, and both sets of teeth. I ask of you, he used the word Hashem. This pasuk is sandwiched with Hashem's name. The first word is Elokim. The last word is Hashem. Midas Hadin, Midas Harachamim. Both Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim demand that the teeth of these wicked people be removed. This is an interesting idea when you say, like, sometimes when you talk about punishment, we only use the Midas Hadin. But sometimes it's not just Din, it's even Rachamim. Even the Midah of Rachamim demands that these wicked people be eliminated from the world. Their evil is so great. Even Rachamim, you have to get rid of these people because they're poison. And the metaphor of you have a lot of different ideas are coming together. There's Elokim, there's Hashem. We sandwich this idea. We mentioned over here the Kefirim, so we're switching now from the snake to the lion.
But talking about dentists and doctors, it's said about doctors that you cut into a person's body, but it's Rachamim.
It's Rachamim.
It's Rachamim
for the patient. Now, from over here, David is saying, David wants these people to be thoroughly eliminated. Okay, there are a lot of ideas. In this pasuk, just to reflect upon this pasuk, these pasukim, he does, you know, it's very hard to really decipher the depth of these pasukim. But over here, there is Elokim and there is Hashem. And that's a sandwich. It's not a simple thing for a pasuk. Sometimes you have this in other pasukim, and the Chazal, the Mefarshim, they take note of this, is that it begins with Hashem's name, it ends with Hashem's name. Whenever you have such a pasuk, that's a very significant thing, to sandwich the idea within Hashem's name, Din Rachman. Number two, we're dealing here with lions. We are now going away from snakes. We had two, three pasukim dealing with snakes, now we're dealing with lions. Lions have vicious teeth. There are two different types of teeth. There is what's called the shinemoi, the fimoi, their teeth in their mouth, and then there is the mal te'ois, which are the molars. And there are two different words. There is the word haros and the word nisoitz. Two different forms of removal. I had one of my wisdom teeth pulled out.
Harvard uses the same word.
What?
Harvard uses the
this
same,
the same word.
Torah.
Pasuk Zay, let's see. Elokah Torah. Torah means, what does it mean, the word Torah? Torah. To rip out. And the last one he says also, you're saying very good. You're saying excellent. The Targum does not differentiate between the two words. He says the word both haros and the word nisoitz, he translates the same. This is very typical we have in unkelus. We learn at night, unkelus. We find this is the basic principle that we have discovered in learning unkelus. Is unkelus, he simplifies the Hebrew language. And that's a shocking thing to say because the Hebrew language is from the simplest. It has the shortest vocabulary, kemat, of any especially biblical Hebrew. It has the smallest number of words, very compact. The smallest number of words in Lashon HaKodesh compared to any other language, by very very short. So you would think that, and yet, what does unkelus do? Unkelus more very often he takes different words, and he translates them the same. He takes synonyms and so he's taking a language that in essence is a very simple, short. Nothing still not Lashon HaKodesh, obviously, but he's saying that it's a language that has a limited number of vocabulary words, and he makes it even less. He takes multiple words which there are different words. Obviously, they have different nuances, different connotations, different ideas.
Yes, I would like to say something.
Yeah?
I see something else here. Malteot. The damage that Malteot do, they break the bones. They are very strong. So then Netots. So you
the word Netots is a stronger word.
And they try to do.
Right, the word misoitz is a stronger word. It's a more powerful word. It fits better to go with the word with the word maltois. Whereas, right, the word hard, but the targum in this made a very fascinating point. This you don't really see so much in targum and tilim because targum and tilim is not really unkelus. But unkelus and chumash, we've seen this so many times, takes different words which clearly mean have a different connotation, and he translates them exactly the same. To simplify a language that already is very small. And here we have two words. Obviously, the word haros means haros and nesoitz are different. One has a connotation, as a common said, is more of an intensity of more violence, of crushing and pulverizing something. Where the word haros just means to remove. And yet the targum over here of Dr. Dove, the dentist, is pointing out over here that the targum only had one tool, a wrench. When I had my wisdom tooth pulled, I thought I was in a plumber shop. It was like a plumber. The dent I was sitting there, and he takes like a big wrench, and you get the sense almost that wait a minute, did I come to a dentist or did I come over here to a plumber?
Find another dentist.
Baruch Hashem, that tooth is no longer there, so I don't need this for that half other teeth. Okay, it's violent. This guy was recommended as the top guy. A big time, he had a line there in the waiting room there. People have their teeth pulled the whole day. And King's Highway, here he's a Russian, you know what he's referring to? I don't know, an East, like, I don't know. This guy was highly right. I come in there, it was like, right. He was rough. All right, let's go further. In any event, this is, you say, a very good point. Let's see the Rashi.
Look at the Baramilos.
Okay, the Baramilos, let's see, what does it say over there? The Baramilos in the Malbum. Shinei Mayhem Hachados, the sharp ones. Umaltois Heim Hatoichanais. Okay, the molars. Horas Nisoits, Hanituts Moistif Allah Hirus, it's more violent. Shaha Hoyres Miforikon Mibichiburon. Hoyres means you just remove, you uproot. You take it out of its source. The hanoseitz mishabram lachalakim. You pulverize into little teeny pieces. Kemoshe gosafti hatenev hamitzvah. One of his svarim. Umoisiv ha'olach kedar koyfine. So there are two different words. Yet the targum translates it with exactly the same word, like you would find. This is something typical that you would find in unkelis, but this is not unkelis. This is a different targum, which you don't typically see this targum do that technique of unkelis does in Chumash. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi. Shur Rashi Maltois Shinaim Hapenimiyos Shekoyrin Amachol. We give you the microphone. What does this word mean? This old French.
Oh, molars or grinders.
Molars or grinders. Okay. Okay. Now look at the Radak. Could I look at the Radak? Exactly the pasuk Zayin. Elokim haros shinei moi b'fimoi lefi sha'amar b'mizmor l'malo shineihem chanis v'chitzim. That goes back in the previous mizmor nun zayin. Something similar says that their teeth are like spears and arrows. Amar horas shinei moi shloya zikuni divreihem horoim. It refers to their words, their harsh words. It's a metaphor for their harsh words. These are the large ones. He compares them to lions. A lion, the teeth are associated, violence with teeth is always connected to lions. Poison is connected to snakes. Every creature has its unique weapon. Let's now take, this is a quick Maamar Chazal here, Shur Maamar Chazal. Elokim haros shinema b'fimo. Taharois Kamecha. Okay, we say this in davening. Now every time we say in Shachris, Oz Yoshir, and we say the words Taharois Kamecha. What does that mean? It means uproot your enemies. So it says Horasto Kamecha Ein Kesivkan. In Oz Yoshir is Osid Lova Mikan Letrias Hamesim Natara. Oz Yoshir is written with Lashon Osid. That in the future, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Gula, then Oz Yashir Moshe Uvinei Yisrael Sashir Azoyz LaHashem. So that's why there are many. It's not only the beginning of the Mizmor, the beginning of the Shira. Even in the middle of the Shira, it says to the Emor, right, you will bring them, a good chunk of the Mizmar is in the future tense, and here's another.
I think we'll find this in other, at least one other Mizmar later, is the style.
Of the future. And here it says Taharois Kamecha, which is in the future tense. Why is in the future tense? So it's coming to cross-reference what David will say. So now you have something else to remember when you daven Oz Yosher Taharois, to remember what it says over here in Mizmor Nun Ches, this Maimer Chazal. Why doesn't it say grammatically? It's not grammatically correct. It should say in the pasuk Horasta Kamecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He has uprooted our enemies in Egypt, the Egyptians. It does not say that. Ein ksiv kan ela taharois, we beg Hashem, please uproot in the future. What does this refer to? Lo'asalavoi shenemar, and we cite this pasuk. This pasuk is the cross-reference to what we say in Az Yashir every day. Elokim harosh shinemoi b'fimoi. David over here is praying as well to uproot in every generation, to uproot our wicked enemies who slander us and spew forth with words of insult and damage.
Style?
Sorry? I didn't realize that.
Later on, we'll have shisemo,
it's the future tense. It's a request for the future. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the connection is the word haros. Mm-hmm. Haros. Over in the shir it says horasta kamech, and here it says haros. So there's like a gzeres shavas, so to speak. Rabbi Shulman, good morning. Shabbos. Freilichim Purim. It's haros, and that's like a gzeres shav from haros to haros, horasta. Okay, let's now take a look over here at the next pasuk. Next pasuk, ches. Yimoasu chimoy mayim. They should be rejected like water. What's wrong with water? Okay, yishalchu lamoy. They shall just move on. Yidroi chitzav. May they step on their arrows. Kimo yismoylalu, as they yismalalu. If you look in the, let's see the mitzudah, let's look mitzudah siyon, mitzudah siyon, the whole pasuk yim asu. Okay, yim sisu, he learns the word yim asu not like what I told you means to reject, like mo'os, disgusting. That's not what he says to melt. The mitzudah siyon says this word yim asu is a complex form of the word of melting. They shall melt into water, like water. You have a solid, if you heat up something enough, eventually it will melt. Not everything. To melt. Right, so if you wouldn't see this, the Mefarshim, you would think of the word yimoasu, it means they shall be detestable, disgusting, mo'us. But it's not what he says. It seems that the aleph is not, that's that mo'us. What is the shayrish of the three letters? I think if the aleph is part.
Not everybody will.
Okay, let's see them, says David. Yim moasu, yim sisu. So he learns that the aleph is not part of the shayrish.
Okay.
If it was the word moos, detestable, then the aleph is part of the root. And he says, no. Don't make that mistake over here. The aleph is not part of the root. The word is mos. Like v'cham hashemesh
vinomos.
The mon melted. Sorry? I can't hear. I'm sorry. The sound's not so great here.
Nun, no mace.
Yeah. Melted. Here the aleph is not part of voh aleph, we call him oisa kefel. So basically he's saying that the samach should be repeated. And this is grammar. Okay, we have to learn some grammar, that the aleph sometimes, when you really need a second letter, we use an aleph to substitute for the repetition of a letter. V'chein asher bozu, bozoz. There it's bozoz. The aleph in that word, there's an aleph, and really it should be in these. I think it's Yeshaya. Asher Bozu. Really, it should be Bozuzu. I mean, two Zions. And the Aleph there takes the place of a repetition. Umishbato Bozuzu. You see, he explains that word Bozuzu means, I'm assuming it means to plunder. Okay, to plunder. And there you'd expect the pasuk to say Bozuzu, but it doesn't. It says Asher Bozu because in the rules of grammar, sometimes, whatever the reason is, an Aleph serves as a repetition of the previous or letter afterwards. And here as well, Yimoasu, and there is a Samach, and the Samach is to be repeated. There's a big difference though between these two in the example he is giving. Because in the example that he is giving, the Aleph comes after the letter that we want to repeat. And in this example, the Aleph comes before the letter that we want to repeat. It seems like an insignificant point, but it's nothing is insignificant when it comes to grammar. Okay, the world of a difference between a letter here and a letter there. But obviously, the Mitzudai Siyain says it's a chiluk that's not mechalik. Okay, not every chiluk is mechalik. Look, you know, I always think about this. I used to do years ago programming. You know, programming can drive you nuts. Every little. No, it's not like searching on Google. If you don't know how to spell on Google and you type in some collection of letters that's close enough, Google's very smart. It figures out what you really.
When you write Hebrew words.
It figures out even Hebrew. It's pretty good.
Right.
It figures out what you meant to say. It's pretty good. You don't have to be so accurate. You don't know how to spell. It pretty much gets what you want to say. Artificial intelligence. In programming, it doesn't work like that. In programming, if you go and you have the teeniest thing. There's a true story. United States, they once sent a very, very expensive satellite somewhere, I don't know where, and the cost was hundreds of millions of dollars, I think. An outrageous amount of money. And it was going pretty good, and all of a sudden, it went off course. It went off course, and the whole thing was a waste. And they spent an enormous amount of time trying to figure out what happened. It's a true story. And the answer was, after a lot of research, there was a mistake in the code. There was supposed to be a period at some point in the code, and there was a comma. Okay? The difference between a period and a comma. Okay, to us, big deal, the Koitzer Shol Yud. Yeah? The difference between a period and a comma resulted in a loss of hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money and a lot of agmas nefesh for all the people that were involved in this project. The difference between a period and a comma. It's quite a Musar Haskel in life. A mashu, if that's true in this world, in the Dover Gashmi, Alachas Kam V'Kam, when it comes to Ruchnias, when you're off just a little bit, a tini mashu makes a very big difference. So here, a very sophisticated grammar, which I know nothing about, and he's telling us that when the aleph can serve as a repetition of a letter, he's not differentiating between the aleph being before or the aleph being after. And he mainly explains the word over here means, it means over here, yim sisu, which means to melt. Okay, let's go now to the Mitzudos David, pasik ches, yimoasu, yiyu nimasim kamayim. Obviously, the Mitzudas David is very disturbed with the word mayim. If the word means ma'os, water is not ma'os. How could you possibly say that water is disgusting? Water is precious. Water, it's not even free anymore. Water costs money. Clean water. Water is a precious commodity. Mayim. They always were claiming years ago that all the wars, you know, you didn't see it pan out. When I was a kid, they used to claim that in the future, wars in the Middle East will be fought over water.
Yeah.
Is that true? You don't hear about that anymore in the news.
What do you do?
You do? You're still hearing in the news? Water? You should know that in Ukraine, that's one of the things that Putin did when he...
It's what's causing the major water shortage in California. Of course, they never expected Nevada to need all that water for Las Vegas.
But even when there is water, water rights, water passage.
Water,
I think Crimea. I think if I'm not, I read about this when the Ukrainian war started about a year ago. I was reading about all the strategies, and what he did was there's something there about water. There is a very important thing they need. They did. I don't remember. Water is a very precious commodity, and they used to predict years ago. They probably still do. Is that wars, world wars, are fought.
At least regional wars are fought
over water. Okay, we're not talking about gold. You think oil, right? The whole Persian Gulf, oil. All you hear about oil, and now they're talking about lithium. China, Afghanistan has incredibly massive deposits of lithium, because now you go electric, you need lithium batteries. Where do you get lithium from? Afghanistan is the next Saudi Arabia, because in Afghanistan there's massive deposits of lithium, and then everyone, all the conspiracy theorists, I'm talking about what's going on, why did the United States pull out of what's going on with China and the Taliban, the Khreis, I don't know, all this stuff. But there's a lot of lithium in Afghanistan. So oil, lithium, gold, you know, commodities. But what's the ultimate commodity? The ultimate? Water. Hoy kol tzomei l'chu l'mayim. Water is the ultimate. So how could it say here, Yimoasu chimoy mayim? Mayim is moos. Mayim is the most precious commodity in the world.
Right.
So it has to be. That's part of the calculation of the mitzvah of it. It cannot mean yimoasu to mean moos. It can't be. Mayim is not moos. It has to be to melt. The aleph is not part of the sheresh. The aleph is there to repeat the letter, to complete the letter samach.
Yep.
And it means nomes, to melt. And it means, like over here, it means yim sisu, they will melt. Make believe the word says they will melt like water. But that's not so simple either, because things don't melt like water. Okay, people, human beings, they melt like water. A human being is 70% of the body is water. 70% of the world, 70% of the world is water. And 70, I think it's the exact same ratio. They say an adam is an oilam katan. Oilam katan is a microcosm of the world, and it's true scientifically. It's a shocking revelation. Is there's exactly the same proportion of water in the body as there is water on Earth to dry land. We'll Google it. Mayor, our fact checker, is the same percentage of water in the body to the water in the world. A pelvic thing.
Garbage.
So
by some people, it's on the brain.
So in water, so what does it mean a person melts? He melts into water? I don't know what that means. What does it mean to melt into water? Rahmana Litzlan is the most horrible thing. In 9/11, don't even imagine this was possible. In 9/11, the people, there were many of them, they didn't recover anything from their bodies. Their bodies vaporized. It's the most frightening thing in the world. Talk about kvura. There's nothing to bury. Their whole, the intensity of the fire, their body, literally, they didn't recover anything from some people, victims of 9/11. The word they use is their body vaporized. What does that mean? Turned into air? What does it mean exactly? I have no idea. Very, very frightening things here.
Most of the states in the United States, the borders are by water.
The boundaries.
Of the states.
Our water.
Really belonged to Wisconsin, but they lobbied to get you. Move the water north so they could be on Lake Michigan.
Hasogas gavul. Mamish. Okay, so that's part of the equation. It cannot mean most, it means they will melt. But that's also a little bit difficult what that means. You nimasim, I shall call point of the nun. When you have the word melting, the nun always comes into play. Nimasim kamaim v'yelchu la lo avadoin, and they will disappear. Yidroich hamokaim. Now again, this is another part. Who's the subject? Mi omar elmi, or mi omar almi. Who is the subject here? So the mitzvah is to the rescue. Hashem will step on them. Okay, yidroich aleihem. And I saw, seriously, you know, you talk about, you know, it's Purim coming. And Purim, what do they do? What do they used to do? They used to go and take, write the name Haman on their shoe, and you step on it, and you erase it. So I saw, it's amazing how, you know, nothing ever changes. They were showing, I saw a clip of the Ukrainians and the Russians, the soldiers, can't figure out who was who, but they caught someone and they took off on his uniform the whatever, what is it called? The insignia?
Insignia
on their uniform. He ripped it off and they threw it on the floor. And the guy and the fellow who caught him, he went and he stepped on it. He stepped on it and was like rubbing it on the ground. This is like mamish haman. This is exactly what you're supposed to do for when they say haman. You have haman, and you erase it. And in the world, they still do that. Okay, maybe not. You don't see it so much in America. But you see, they saw it happened like this week, last week, very recently, where a soldier was captured, and the hatred that the victor had for the enemy was so great, he ripped off the symbol off the uniform, threw it on the floor, and he took his foot and started rubbing it as an expression of it should be erased. Mamish, it's like a mamish reminding us this. See such a clip, Erev Purim, to see such a thing. Yeah. Dreyfus, the Dreyfus Sevier.
Yeah, they broke his sword.
Yeah.
They took what they take off. They took off his insignia from. He was a soldier. He was a soldier. They accused him of being a spy. Unbelievable. The more things change, the more they stay the same. So here it says over here that Yidroich Hakadosh Baruch Hu will step. Hashem will do exactly this. He will step on them. Yidrech hamokoim yidrech aleihem. Chitzav. Now what does it mean chitzav? V'yu kadvodim hanich chitzav. What does it mean chitzav over here in this pasuk? His arrows. Chitzav. V'yu kadvodim hanichrosim chishmaher. Swiftly. So what? Let's go back to the pasuk. I'm not sure I understand what it means over here in the pasuk. Okay. Let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk over here says, "Yi moasu, they will melt. They will melt kichemoy mayim, like water. Period. Yishalchu lomoy, they will just pass away. They will move on. I'm assuming over here is the kichemoy mayim yishalchu lomoy. Is the word yishalchu lomoy connected to the mayim, or is it a separate statement? The trup you can't bring a raya from, because in Tehillim the trup is very different. I'm not sure, but let's assume maybe it's connected. They will melt away. I'm not sure. Yimasu chamaymai. They will melt like water. Period. Yis halchu lamai. Okay, let's learn that it's a separate statement. They will just pass on, move on. What? What do you say, Colin?
Blow away.
Blow away.
Let them go away.
Let them go away. Let them just disappear. Let them go away. And then it says, Yidroich chitzav kimo yismoilolu. Hashem will step upon their arrows, their weapons. Is that what it means? Kimo yismoilolu. Just like, now we go back to the mitzudas tzion, yismoilolu, yuchresu. The word yismoilolu means they will be cut off. They'll be cut off, yimoilel v'yavesh, and unfortunately, in the mitzvah stuff, doesn't really explain this part of the pasuk. Hashem will step upon chitzav, his arrows, kimo. I don't know. I really don't know. What, I don't know. I thought I prepared this, but I guess I didn't do too good of a job here on this. Yiruch hamakom yiruch aleihem chitzav v'yu kadvodim hanichrosim chishmaher chitzav. What is the word chitzav? I'm not sure if the word chitzav correctly. Let's look over here at Rashi. Rashi pasukhes. Rashi yi moasu leatzmam. So Rashi learns the alternative pshat, not to melt. It means detestable. They'll be ugly and disgusting in their own eyes. They hate themselves. La'atzmam sheyiyu nim'osim be'enehem midragah. They will be disgusting in their own eyes. There's nothing more disgusting in this world when a person hates himself. Okay, when a person hates himself, he looks at himself. The test that a person looks at himself when it happens is a very high level of mi'us. Person can look at waste of animals. I don't understand this. Everyone has these dogs all over the place today. Wherever you go, there's a dog.
Yes.
And the man, their owners, have to clean up after them.
They don't clean up.
They, I know, they come to my house. I know.
I was walking by a house yesterday, and there were three different signs in the front area that said, you know,
get lost.
Thought,
it's not going to make a difference. All right, look, let's look at the Ois Dalit in the Sifse Zikainin. Barashi Zal Midogo, who's Soif Adibor, Viachakach Maskla Dibor, you're just saying over here, it's a grammatical thing, Kumay Mayim, Yisalahu, Dugmas, okay, fine. Kumay, next goes before, the Kumay Mayim Yisalahu, Dugmas, Kolbir Kaim Telach the Mayim. Now he's saying an incredible pshat. I appreciate this. It means that they're going to lose control of their body, and they're going to release mei raglayim. When a person is terrified, they suddenly let go of their muscles and they release mei urine, mei raglayim. So they should be disgusting in their own eyes. They should be terrified to the degree where all of a sudden they are releasing waste. Look in the Megillah. In the Megillah, Vatis Chalchal Hamalka Me'oid. What do Chazal say about this? Sheparsa Nida. But it wasn't the time when she would expect in her cycle, right? In terror, when a person is in a matziv of high emotion, it causes the body to let go, and unusual things happen. For example, in Halacha, a woman after she gets engaged is called a Nida. A woman, after a man proposes marriage to a woman, she cannot get married. She can get married, but she has to go through the whole cycle in halacha of nida, because even though she may not have a sensation, I don't know practical halacha, but it says in Chazal, you have to go talk to, I don't know what the rabbanim say, all the practical halachas of hilchos nida, but after a woman accepts a proposal for marriage, it causes her to be so shaken up that there is a suspicion that Sheparsa Nida. And in Mela, she has to go to the cycle of Tahara for Nida before she can be with her husband. Even if her husband, let's say a woman, he proposed her, let's get married tonight. Why should we wait? Let's get married tonight. So if a man proposes to a woman and gets married that very evening, she would have a din of a nida. I know someone this mamash happened to. Person was basically, he was living with a woman, and then there was a shayla on the woman if she was Jewish. Okay, there was someone that I know, man and woman, they were living together for a while, and then he didn't want to, you know, marry her unless she, you know, she did geirus, and she did. She went through a whole process of geirus. And then, very chash v'bezin, and she became a geiris. It's very likely that she was Jewish, but she did the geiris l'chumra. And then, they were married. So no, and then he was there. The husband, her boyfriend, was there at the ceremony. And then, so they then said, that, you know, you're not allowed to be together. Now, you know, now you have to have a marry. You have to, you know, get married. Have kiddushin. So they said, so why didn't you get married right now? We'll marry you off right now.
Right then and there.
Right then and there. We have here 10 people, and what are you waiting for? You're ready, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously, during the time when she was preparing to become a Gioris, obviously that was required. There was, I don't know all the details, but right after this, she got her Gioris, she became a Gioris, so get married right now. So let's taka say he was then was it in? End was they waited. They had a very nice wedding, like I guess like 2 months later, very elaborate, very beautiful wedding. But the Bezdin was pressuring them, so get married right now. You became a Gioris, and this is your, you know, the person you're going to marry. So just we'll do it right now. So let's say she would say yes. Okay, I'll get married right now, and he would. Give her Tabas Kedushin, Harem Kudeshes in front of the Bezdin, would they be allowed to live together? No. A woman who accepts a marriage proposal, in Halacha, it's Ki'ilu she became a Nida. because due to the emotional state of such a proposal and acceptance, it has an effect upon a person. Vatischalchal hamalka me'oid, as she went into Achashverosh, she was terrified. Melamed sheparsa nida. So here as well, according to Rashi, Rashi says, Yi mo asu, these my enemies, they should look at themselves and be disgusted with themselves because they should realize what they've done to me and they should be filled with shame. They should be disgusted and should be terrified. Kimoimayim yishalchu lamai. Water should flow from them. Meaning they should be so terrified that they should lose control of their body, and mei raglayim should just flow freely from their body. Now I remember there's a pshat in the Gemara. So I remember someone told me the art school editor there's a piece of Gemara where they're studying just like this in the Gemara, and there are different interpretations of the Gemara, and just like we learned over here, one interpretation is yimoasu chmoimayim. The Mitzudas David says they shall melt like water. And then we have another interpretation, Yimoasu, they should look at themselves with disgust. They should lose control of their body due to the terror that overcomes them. And May Raglaim shall flow from them. So I remember many years ago, someone who was working for Art Scroll says they had a debate in Art Scroll if in the Gemara they should put in the notes this interpretation. Maybe the Hamoinam can't handle it. It's too delicate to say such an interpretation is that due to the state of terror, shock, and fear, their body will give out, they will lose control, and Meiraglayim will flow from their feet. They had a debate. Maybe they should not write that interpretation in the notes of the Art Scroll Gemara. I think the end was they did write it. But they had a conversation. Maybe, you know, there are other mahalchim, other things that we can write in the footnotes. Who says this is the most appropriate thing that we should use that precious space for? Okay, so it's a delicate pshat. It's a delicate pshat. Rashi seems to say that's what it means over here. Rashi over here says, "As dugmas kol birkayim telach namayim," and in that case, all knees shall bring forth mayim. And then he says over here, "Mi dimois." So what doesn't make any sense though? When it says there nicheskel kol birkayim, it means there meraglayim. It means meraglayim. So what does it mean over here? "Mi dimois," tears. What does that mean over here? I don't know. The setting over here is not right. Setting over here does
some
not make sense.
Have this,
oh?
Some don't.
No, they have the whole thing.
No.
Not just with the moist. Right. In the Art Scroll, it's in the whole thing is in brackets. From the very beginning. Yi mo asu. But this is a contradiction. Kol birkayim tilach namayim refers to mei raglayim. So what does it mean over here is mi dimois from tears. I don't know. I have to go look into this more. Yidroi chitzav HaKadosh Baruch Hu linegdom kidei. So here Rashi adds in one critical word to explain this, so that sheyismoy lalu, they shall be cut off. Yismoy lalu, Rabbi Chol, what's this word? Okay, so it appears now the pshat in the pasuk. Yeah, Rav Kalman, yeah, listen. Rav Kalman?
Yeah, there is something that when the leaves fall from the tree,
yeah,
and they become dry, and people step on them,
yeah,
they become very small pieces.
Uh-huh.
The leaves, and here it says Yidroch, he will
step
on them, and they will
so that they will be crushed. But it says the word chitzav, right? But that would be good if it just said yidroich kimo yismaylalu. But here it says yidroich chitzav. So now remember, it's very similar what it means. It means to shoot arrows. In ancient times, when they would shoot arrows, you would shoot arrows with your feet. You have to go on YouTube and look how they shot. We think about bows and arrows like Omer, you only use your hand. You hold the bow in one hand and you hold the bowstring in the other hand. You pull back and you let go. Yeah, that's when you buy a 99-cent store. Okay, but the real boys, the way they shoot arrows is they lie down on the ground. They lie down and they hold with two hands the bow, and with both of their feet, they push, they step with all of their power on the bowstring, and in between the bowstring and the bow is the arrow, and they lie down and they apply their entire force of their body holding onto the bow and their feet on the bowstring, so that in essence they're stepping on the bowstring, and then they let go and the arrow can shoot for miles. I don't know miles, but can shoot for a very, very long distance. And that's why very often when we talk about archery, the term yidroich is employed. Because the real bows and arrows are not pulling it with your... They show in the picture books, they show in the Tehillim, they show someone holding the bow and pulling the string. Yeah, that's the simple bow, but the real heavy-duty artillery is where you hold the bow with two hands, you lie down, and you step, you press with all of the might of your feet on the bowstring to give it enormous power, yidrech. So that's why it's very common, this expression. We have this very often. So it means yidrech chitzav. Hashem will step upon his bow with Hashem's arrows, an expression, will shoot arrows with enormous force upon the wicked, kimo. Kimo in this pasuk, according to Rashi, means kedei. The translation of kimo is so that, yis moi lolu, my enemies, they shall be cut off. Okay, difficult pasuk. So what the whole pasuk is, Yimoasu. According to Rashi, this means Yimoasu, they should look at themselves in the mirror and they should be disgusted. They should be filled with terror or filled with daigus to the degree where they lose control of their body. Like water should flow from their knees. Or if you want to go say like Rashi, they should be, tears should come out of their eyes. I don't know, whatever, fine, whatever, but it seems like their bowels, they'll lose control of the Meiraglayim, and then he curses them and he says, may Hashem yidrei chitzav, may Hashem shoot his arrows with enormous force, not your typical bow and arrow, the bows and arrows that you need to use both of your feet. Just go onto Google, go to YouTube and type this in, bow and arrow with feet. Especially, I went to during the time of the Crusades. The Crusades, they had like, they would take like hundreds, yeah, hundreds of soldiers. And they would all lie down next to each other, and they would lie down, and they would hold, they should, and then they would all at the same moment let go, and like hundreds of arrows would fly in the sky and land on a camp, the enemy camp. Can you imagine? Not like one arrow. It's like all of a sudden, a barrage. All of a sudden, hundreds of arrows are coming down on you. It's like missiles coming down on you, and these were deadly. These, the tips of these arrows were laced with poison. Okay, so if the tip of the arrow touched someone, they were dead. They would take cobra snake poison. It would touch a person, there was no hope. It was the war was very violent. Very, very, it is, still is, it always is. Okay, now let's go to the next. Now we go to the next pasuk. Okay, let's move to the next pasuk. One more pasuk. It's Kumo Shablul Temes Yahaloich Nefel Eshes Bal Chozu Shomesh. And this is a really complicated pasuk. And what you think Eshes means, it doesn't. It means something totally different here. But let's take a look over here. One thing at a time. It's a very hard pasuk. Just start a little bit, just for a few moments. Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudois David. Shablul. What is a shablul? Rabbi Choy, you have a good translation?
One translation is a snail.
Okay.
I looked up the French word. It's an old French word. It could also mean a slug.
A slug. I like that one. A slug. A slug. Okay, it's a the way the Mefarshim explain over here is it's a creature, a little creature. It's basically disgusting, and as it moves along, it leaves a trail of slime.
That's a slug.
It's a slug. Okay, it's like it moves along very slowly, and it's you know when you have someone that you don't like when they leave, oh Baruch Hashem. But when they leave over, when they come and they leave over, all of their odor and their garbage and who knows what else, you have to clean up after them, right? After they leave, you got to clean up all of the unpleasantness that they brought with them. That is a slug. That is a shablul. It's a disgusting, a slimy creature that's disgusting.
The trail that they leave.
Right. It's disgusting. They leave a trail and it's disgusting. The trail they leave, that's exactly what a rasha is. A rasha, the stench that he leaves behind, it takes generations to clean up. To clean up from the stench of the rasha. Even after you get rid of the rasha, all of the damage they left behind, It's not to be believed. So the worst thing about in America, what's the worst? What's the slime of a bad president? President, the most damaging thing a president, the best thing, the most damaging thing is a president. You know how many judges they appoint during their tenure? They appoint an enormous amount of judges, and they have a team of people. You always hear them say, "Oh, this is a judge appointed by Obama, a judge appointed by." By this one, by that one, they always tell me whenever everything today is political, whatever the litigation is, whatever the situation is, it all depends who is the judge. Was he a judge appointed by Obama, a judge appointed by Trump, a judge appointed by Bush, this one or that one? Oh, so how do you know that the judgment is slanted? It's slanted. And this doesn't go away. The appointees, these judges live on for generations. They live on for a very long time, and that's the slime, either the bad slime or sometimes it's good. Biden has appointed, I think, a record number of left wingers that you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine, and the damage, that damage you can't get rid of. Even if somehow he would not, someone else will win the next election, the damage of putting in these left-wing mishugayim, that slime doesn't go away. It doesn't go away, and it's an extremely dangerous thing, which you need a lot of. Ein lanu lihishayin ela al avinu shabashamayim. And it makes a very big difference. The judiciary is very powerful. They pass laws, and you know it's a big, big problem for us. Shablul shem sheretz ma. Name of sheretz. Okay, now look. Let's turn the page. What? No, ma means it's some. It means some type of sheretz. Shame sheretz mo means some. He basically saying, I don't know what it is. Basically, the Mesuzah says, I don't know what it is. Some type of little creature, some type of sheretz, some type of disgusting creature. Okay, the next page, it says, what is temes? Most of Miloshna Mos repeats the word. Again, another word, temes, of the melt. Now, he doesn't say, interesting, he doesn't want to translate the other words, which are extremely difficult. Let's look at the Mitzvah see how he puts this whole pasuk together. It's a very, very hard pasuk here. And there are many interpretations. K'moy shablul. Ka shablul hazeh asher darko liyos nomeis v'holich bizroyach alav ha-shemesh. This slug, it is in its custom that when the sun shines on it, it melts. Mm-hmm. But as it melts, u'chumoy ha-nefel, we'll find out, David is saying, my enemies, now that the light of Hashem is shining upon them, the MS, they should melt away. That's his first statement. Then he goes on to Uchumo, Hanefel Shalisha. He learns the pasuk very simply. A miscarriage, a nefel, a stillborn. Kimoy Hanefel Shalisha, Asher Einem Royim Hashemesh, Kain Sotu, Harasham Halalu, Lo Yiru Hashemesh, they will not see the sun. Ritzon Loimar, they will not merit to witness the Or HaYeshua. La Yehudim Hoysa Oira Simcha Sasim Vikar, they're not going to merit to see the Or. Kumay Shablul, just like a Shablul, Temes, Yahaloich, they will, temes, they will melt. Is that where we put the kam according to the mesudas? Kimoy, like a shablum, temes, yahaloich, kama. I think kama, put the word kama after we look. They will disappear like a shablul that melts away when the sun shines. When the geula comes, these people will just disappear from the face of the earth. And nefel, you have to basically have to add the word kimo. As we always do, you have to repeat words, add the word kimo a second time. My enemies will be kimo, like a nefel isha bal chozu shomesh. They will not merit to see the light of day, the or hagula, the light of redemption. All right, we're going to have to stop over here. Rashi over here has a very, very different mahalach in this pasuk. Very sophisticated concepts and words that we've never heard before to explain that an eshes does not mean a woman, does not mean a nephil, it means a whole different thing here. And we'll meet to Shem on Monday on Tainus Esther. We will continue this. Okay, we'll take a short break and then we'll learn some Chumash. Parshas HaShavua.